Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
This is the ZABEcast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight and let's go.
Here we go. It is a Monday after one of the slower weekends on the sports calendar, but it's not that uninteresting because stuff is happening left and right, and the All-Star game has basically collapsed in the NBA. Andy Pollin is here on a Monday on the ZABEcast. Hello, Andy.
Hello, Zabe.
I know you said before we sat to tape this, we did not get to watch the NBA All-Star Game tournament between the Internationals and the Americans. So we don't quite know if it was a smash or a trash, but it seems like everyone is betting the trash angle on this. Nothing seems to fix this weekend, and boy, this was a bad weekend optically for Adam Silver and the league.
Yeah, I watched a few minutes of the slam dunk contest, a bunch of no names. There's nothing more that anybody can do in a slam dunk contest. That needs to go away.
You think every dunk that has ever been dunked has been, like, it's time to retire? Because they did that once already. Remember, this already went away once.
People started jumping over cars and jumping over people, and these were just slam dunks, it looked like, by guys I'd never heard of.
Okay, but Vince Carter then, I think post the dunk contest getting shut down, did the stuff his whole arm in the rim dunk,
but that's
and hang on his elbow.
That's probably 2000.
Vince Carter was 2000?
I think so. Look that up. I'm pretty sure it was. Because I'll tell you,
Andy. 2000. You're fucking right.
Yeah. See, I mean,
2000.
Right. It was like that. Okay. That's the high point. Time to quit. Unless you're going to get the superstars to do it and they're not interested. There's enough money you can pay them.
Okay. How much money did Michael Jordan get paid to enter the dunk contest?
Michael Jordan at that point was trying to improve the league. These guys, they don't feel any responsibility for it. He felt the responsibility to suit up for as many games as he possibly could. And some seasons he played 82 games. That's not the case anymore.
What about Dominique Wilkins? How much did he get paid to enter
the
dunk contest?
But, you know, I watched the ABA documentary that was on Prime, a four-part series.
Was it good?
Yeah, and do you know the reason? This is so funny. The reason that they started the slam dunk contest, this was the last ABA All-Star game, 1976. They merged after that. Four teams went in the NBA. The reason that they had a slam dunk contest at halftime of the All-Star game was there wasn't any money to pay a halftime act. So somebody said, well, let's just get the guys out here and
that
have a dunk contest.
Wild.
Yeah. That was a different era. And Dr. J took off from the foul line and it became legendary. And so once the merger happened, they go, oh, we got to have that. We got to have the slam dunk contest. And it was good for a while. You got superstars participating, but it's run its course.
Well, there was a lot of good years recently when LeBron was in it and he was doing all these crazy dunks and everyone's like, wait a minute. That's right. LeBron James never once entered the dunk contest.
Not once.
And therein lies your problem. Today, LeBron will make himself available to the media Sunday. He did not yesterday when everyone else did, Andy, because he's different. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
This is how he operates.
Yeah, he wanted an extra day of vacation. Yeah.
He
didn't want to do it.
Yes. And no one, Adam Silver, none of his fellow NBA players dared to say word one about it to LeBron because they fear the Maverick Carter Mafia and LeBron's force in the league still. And the guy is hanging on by a thread in his 40s, okay? He's a part-time player. He's pretty good when he does play, but he's playing half a season almost. And I'll be willing to bet any amount of money if he gave me a private lab to drug test him, they would find PEDs that he's using. He's got to be, given the minutes, the wear and the tear and everything else. But guess what? The league can't quit him. And he may not go out at the end of this year. If he was going to retire at the end of this year, you think he would have announced it by now because everyone assumes, Andy, he's going to want the rocking chair goodbye tour that Kareem got and the gifts and the motorcycles and the adulation. And that might not be it for another 2-3 years. This guy won't leave.
Do you know that Kareem actually started a rocking tour chair farewell and then changed his mind and went back and played like 3 more years? Do you know that?
I kind of forgot that. So when Kareem got all the gifts, and I think this was the last time anyone in sports got the retirement tour gift celebration. Is there another athlete you can remember that got the every last stop he went to? Okay.
But I think it's probably happened. I think Jordan's last year with the Wizards, I think he made it pretty clear that was going to be his last year.
Pretty clear.
Mariah Carey did this big, farewell song to him, and he teared up about that. But I'll give Jordan this. Jordan understood, and he learned from people like Dr. J, who came into the league when it was struggling and said, hey, we need to promote it. We need to show the fans that we care. Because at the time, late 70s, people said, too black, too full of drugs.
Too many fights.
People aren't showing up at the games.
Right.
Yeah.
Too black, too many fights, too much drugs, and we don't want it. And David Stern turned it all around. Single-handedly
And he did it with stars. And I remember being in San Antonio and Dallas in the late 70s, early 80s. And when Dr. J would come in, he'd do as many interviews as anybody wanted after shoot around, after the game. Magic did the same thing. They understood how to promote the league. These guys, load management, can't do it. No. Too many other things going on.
The contest winner, and I guess the contest winning dunk by a guy for the Miami Heat by the name of Keyshawn Johnson. Not Keyshawn Johnson and not Magic Johnson, but Keyshawn Johnson. Cue the I have no idea who that is soundbite. Was so lame, and it was more about his post-dunk dancing. Take a watch and listen to this.
Something special's coming. They call him Showtime.
The DJ Steve Dissett playing Oakland's finest.
Here's my question. Did he spend more time preparing back the dunk or the dances?
I got to see where the liftoff was.
He got the back.
Oh, my God. Great commentary. Did he spend more time on the dunk or more time on the dancing?
He ran from the foul line. Dr. J took off in the air from the foul line.
I know.
And that was 40 years ago.
But hold on. But he didn't even take off from the foul line. Do you see where he last stepped? It was at least 4 feet inside the foul line. It was almost at the bottom of the circle around the foul line.
That's what I'm saying. He ran it in. I mean, there are guys on the playground who can do that.
I know. And that wasn't even the highlight or low light of the dunk contest. It was the guy who nearly killed himself on the dunk contest, which was Jace Richardson. Jace, J-A-S-E. Do you know who he is? Could you pick him out of Duke Ellington's band or perhaps the Osmond family photo? No, I didn't think so.
Don't know him.
You've heard the name. Right. Okay, and this is also part of the problem. You could say, well, every dunk that's ever been dunked has been done before. That's only half the problem. The other half is if you had stars in it, people wouldn't obsess about, well, I've seen a behind-the-back reverse two-handed jam. Oh, I've seen a through-the-legs left-handed windmill. They would just be excited to see the best stars in the league dunking. Would you agree with me on that, at least?
Yeah, I guess, but I don't think it's like the three-point shooting contest. When you've got Steph Curry making them from the logo, what's the big deal of watching guys, you know, go around the ball rack and hit threes? They practice it all the time. Like when Larry Bird won the three-point shooting contest, and he did it wearing his warm-up. He didn't even bother to take that off, which I thought was such a cool move.
Right.
You shoot like two or three a game.
But he shoots. It's not a big deal anymore. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where I get so frustrated with Andy, my friend and mentor, my older brother in sportsdom, and he knows so much. I mean, he nailed it on the year of Vince Carter, 2000, when I was sure it had been much more recent than that. Oh, by the way, I was quite kind of right on that because they killed the slam dunk contest in 98 due to declining interest and lack of star participation. They replaced it with the two-ball competition. Do you remember the two ball?
Yeah.
I think the two ball involved the WNBA. Is that possible? Let me look that up. Either way, it came back, the dunk contest in 2000. Then Vince Carter stuffed his whole arm through the rim like a horse doctor delivering a young foal all the way up there with the gloves to his elbows. Okay. Mother of all power surges. God damn it. Every system I had here, Andy, internet, Rodecaster Duo recorder, computers, you name it, just went. Took me about 10 minutes now to get back up and running. It must have been the gods saying, okay, move on from the dunk contest because nobody gives a shit. If nobody gives a shit to watch it, why are you and Andy spending so much time talking about it? And I guess the answer is, well, maybe the gods are right. So let's move on, shall we? There are other more interesting things out there, like the cheating Canadians in the Olympics. The Winter Olympics delivers usually some of the best storylines, don't they, Andy? Even if we don't know anything about the sports that we're watching, the storylines are always usually really good. And so far, here are the three top storylines from the Milan Games. One, ski jumpers allegedly injecting their penis with acid to get bigger, fluffier suits to fly in the air with. Did you see that story?
I saw it, but I didn't really delve into it.
Injecting your penis with acid? Okay. The second big story is the French judge who completely screwed the Americans with a score for their routine that was statistically way out of whack with every other judge. And it's not like this is the first time a French judge
French judge.
Yeah. Yep. This happened before. And I forget who had screwed in the Olympics. What was the previous one in which the French judge really hosed somebody?
It's a while ago. It could be 96. It could be 30 years.
It could be. Was it Soleil and Pelletier, the Canadian judge? 2002 Skategate. There you go.
Okay.
This where a French judge's vote was nullified in 2002. Yes, the Canadian pair of Jamie Soleil and David Pelletier were initially denied gold due to a scandal involving French judge Marie Ren Lagoon.
Oh, yeah. Right.
It later led to the awarding of dual gold medals, which is also very shaky. But no, we got to talk about the curling scandal. The Canadians have been caught red-handed. Choo-choo, as Boss Hogg would say, or as Roscoe P. Coltrane would say, choo, I got him. I got him cold, dead to rights. They were caught with a double touch of the stone, the curling stone, with their little finger, just a little nudge, a little touch, which is illegal according to the rules, because the Swedes knew that they were doing it, and they asked their own Swedish broadcast network to install a camera angle that is not traditional, and it would catch the cheating. The Canadians did not know there was this angle. And then when it caught them dead to rights and made them look like bad sports fools and assholes by yelling at the Swedes going, fuck you, I did not cheat, I did not touch. And the Swedes are like, don't worry, it is on camera. Then they whined about, well, it's illegal taping. You can't take an angle of our curling from that angle. But the men got penalized, Andy, and the women got penalized. How about them apples?
Well, you know, I mean, to the naked eye and to the dope who wouldn't know anything about curling other than they use these crazy brooms and the stones, most people wouldn't know it watching on TV, right? It's a very, like in the NFL, you'd go, oh man, that sucks. You know, that's pass interference. No question about that. Curling, how would you know?
Right? Yeah, yeah. But the three stories taken together, injecting your penis with acid, a French judge who already knows they're watching the French and shamelessly voting up her French counterparts and screwing the Americans, as well as just trying to touch the curling stone sneakily, like no one's going to see, tells you that when it comes to competition in whatever sport, including sports that don't make you a lot of money, if any, people are going to cheat, right?
Right.
The urge to win, the urge to get an edge is supreme.
Right. And the difference between the champion and the one who doesn't make the team, it's minuscule. So if you got that little tiny edge.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, I had to look this up. What do you think the advantage is of pulling a double touch like that?
I have no idea. I would have absolutely no idea.
Would you like me to explain it to you?
I'm sure you're going to.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was not a yes, I would like you to. It was an admission of inevitability.
Right. It's your podcast. You know?
All right. Okay. Are you not curious as to
not
how
really.
Would that help?
Okay. No. A little touch means you give it a nudge. It's like, it's not like you kick the stone down the road. Now you get caught. But if your little pinky touches it, you get a little nudge. I mean, I guess. I don't know.
Andy, your lack of curiosity at times infuriates, although it probably has led you to a nice, healthy life because you just don't get yourself all wrapped up in shit that doesn't matter.
Not about curling. I mean, I got other things to worry about. Curling is not one of them.
Touching the stone after the initial release, according to Gronk 3.0, or Gronk, as I call it, AI agent to the stars, is often called a double touch. And it gives an advantage because it allows the player to provide a small additional nudge, push, or correction to the stone's speed, direction, or rotation as it crosses or approaches the hog line. Love that term, the hog line. This can add a tiny bit of extra distance, like an inch or so over the full 93 to 100 feet of ice. If the throw feels slightly light or short, it can slightly adjust the stone's path or curl, meaning rotation, by influencing its momentum or spin at a critical early point. However, the effect is often minimal in practice and may not always change the outcome of a specific shot or end. It represents unfair control beyond the initial delivery. It's a technicality, in other words, because when the sweepers are sweeping, they're also affecting how it's going to curl and move and slide.
Right.
Like, you would think that extra sweeping would make up for an extra nudge on the stone. So who cares, right?
I would never give it much thought. The last hog line I cared about involved Jacoby and Grimm and Bostic. So, you know, that's just me.
Somebody asked, why would anyone invent this as a, quote, sport? And I said, well, think about it. Canadians had probably 273,000 ice rinks up there. Mm-hmm. And people over the age of 40 and co-eds can't play ice hockey aren't going to be doing triple axles. So they need something to do in the long Canadian winter. I said, that's probably where the sport originated.
It's the pickleball of Canada, I'm sure.
It is. It is.
And they had a competitor who was 54 years old, right? The oldest Olympic competitor.
And they made a big deal out of that.
Well, they should.
No, they shouldn't. It's darts is what it is. Darts on ice is what it is. It's
but some of these people look like athletes, and they're sweeping, you know. You know, got to have some energy to do that.
I think there is a fair argument to be made that curling is the least athletic sport of any sport on the planet. Requiring golf. Bullshit.
I knew that would set
Fuck you. You're so dumb. You quit golf because you suck at it. Because you lack the strength, coordination, athleticism, ability to move your muscles. Like the golf is a billion times more athletic than curling. Curling takes the lightest of touch to just shush a stone barely with your hands, where you can nudge it with your finger. And then two people sweeping. That's it. Three people.
Whatever.
Is there bowling? No, bowling is it, you have to pick the ball up. You have to pick at least an 8, 10-pound ball up, 16-pound ball up, and throw it with force and spin and everything else.
How about fly fishing? Not the one where you're reeling in the marlin, but you fly out.
Where you're making like a figure eight with the wispy.
Yeah. How about that?
I would say that probably is very light athleticism, but I almost would say that fly fishing is not a sport per se. Anyone can think. Some would say, well, you know, motorsports that racing.
Concentration, reflexes. Yeah.
There is concentration in curling. I'll give you that. There's not reflexes, though. So anyway, that said, with all the cheating, the penis injecting and the French judge swiping and all the curler cheating going on, it's been a great Olympics. Can you agree on that? Have you enjoyed watching some of the stories, the feel-good stories from Milan?
Yeah, I haven't watched a ton of it. And I'll tell you, the downhills always look the same to me. Watch a little of the hockey. Tom Wilson got in a fight.
What do you want the downhills to look like, Andy? The luge looks the same all the time. The figure skating looks the same all the time. It's the same.
It's NASCAR. The only thing that really causes interest is when they wreck.
Okay. I love the human interest stories. I love the family stories. We talked about it here on the Zabecast Friday with Scott and Solly. For you, those of you who are subscribers, you already saw it. Thank you very much for that or listen to it. But if not, you can subscribe by going to zabe.com/premium. These young guys and gals from small towns and families and backstories when they win and what it took to win and where they started and everything else, that's the Olympics right there.
And you know who gets the credit? Rune Arledge. Rune Arledge said, in order for people to watch them, they have to care about them.
You have to be invested, right. So show the stories of the athletes. Did you not at least feel a bit of shock to see the quad god, pride of Vienna, Virginia, Ilya Malinin, completely shit the bed on his long routine and not just not win the gold, but also finish off the podium?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this before. Debbie Thomas, I think 88, she was very much hyped as an African-American woman. She had a terrible time. Not the same thing, but speed skating. Remember Dan Jansen lost his sister and fell apart. And it was fortunate that they had like the
he had enough distance. Limits. Yeah, he had enough distance races that he finally won one to redeem himself.
Right.
But it was it was very it was shocking. It was like, oh my God, he fell again, which is crazy. Sure. So the numbers from this year's Olympics are really good. 1.27 million Olympic tickets sold. 500,000 spectators already through the gates. Most of the venues are full. Everything looks great because they've held it in a proper winter place in the beautiful Italian Alps. 250,000 people have visited the fan villages. NBC is averaging 25 million viewers, double the audience for the Beijing Games in 2022. Yeah, there's a time zone difference, but overall, it's been pretty good. I didn't pay attention a lot in science class in high school. No shock there, but I wish I had, at least when it comes to this. When I hit my 30s and 40s, I started to realize, you know, that same diet that would keep me lean, it's not working anymore. I'm soft around the middle. Energy crashes at 2 o'clock became sort of normal. I figured that's not supposed to happen. So I went full hypochondriac, Googling symptoms, low T kept popping up. You know, doctors act like TRT is casual, weekly shots forever. Well, I dug deeper. $3,000 a year to shut down your natural production? Yeah, no, that kind of terrified me. So this new year, I'm turning the clock back with the natural way, with Mars Men. It's a potent stack of ingredients, things I can't even pronounce. Tonget, Ali, Shalgit, Zinc, Boron, and more. All of it optimizes your body's own testosterone production. Same benefits, steady energy, stronger lift, sharp focus, no needles, no synthetics, or shutdown. No dependency either. Just real ingredients supporting stamina and recovery. Made in the USA, third-party tested, and with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Over 91% of guys report higher energy. I've been on it, and honestly, more consistent drive, energy, focus all day long, actually starting to walk more, feeling way better in 2026 than I have in years. Check out the reviews at mengotomars.com and find out more. No risk and a huge upside. That's mengotomars.com and find out the better way to work on your low T. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
Yep.
On to the NFL. The league has won its arbitration case, Andy, against the union over the annual report cards on ownership and how they're doing with the players. Locker rooms, meals, training facilities, travel arrangements. An arbitrator ruled that basically the union can't go publishing these things because it's essentially violating the terms of the CBA. And many people were shocked, like, Jesus, you guys can't win anything in court against the NFL. In fact, Andrew Brandt said, people wonder, how did they lose this case? And my answer was simple, because they hire strip club fiends to run their union, not hiring the best and the brightest. So nothing shocks me at this point.
They had DeMar Smith, who was an attorney. And he lost a lot, but he's up against a behemoth there.
Yeah.
And so they forced him out. They bring in a guy who's never had any experience like that before. He also had conflict of interest because he was involved in a hedge fund or not hedge fund, but it was
private equity firm.
Private equity. Yeah,
Carlyle Group. Yep.
Yeah. Involving the NFL. And then they found out he was using their funds to go to strip clubs. So they push him out. They push out J.C. Treader, who's head of the Players Association. You got to have strong leadership. And I covered the baseball lockout in 1990. Don Fehr was head of the Players Association. I don't even think he liked baseball. He just wanted to win. He wanted to crush management, right, which he did. And that's what you want. As John Thompson used to say, I don't want a damn poodle guarding my house. I want a Doberman. And that's what you want. And they don't have that.
Don Fehr, I think, was the least romantic about baseball of any union leader I've ever seen. He truly didn't wax poetic in any way, shape, or form. He was there to get the best deal he could for the players. But he kept them all together. He kept them all together. The NFL union is so laughably weak in that they would lose this. Now, the union said, we're still going to do our surveys, and they are going to be talked about to continue to put owners' feet to the fire. But they're not going to publish them in the way that they've published them in the past. Because I guess the arbitrator, in making his ruling, or was it her, I don't know, said that they were cherry-picking some comments, Their methodology was not exactly even-handed about how they did stuff, that some of the surveys were filled out not by players but by other union officials. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there is that. But here's an interesting point. Mike Florio says this will ultimately backfire on the owners because now you have something that everyone wants to see. Everyone right. wants to see now a banned thing, which is Woody Johnson still the cheapest fuck in the league as an owner?
Yeah, it's going to leak. That the players will happily leak this. And it was effective. Arizona basically rebuilt their whole facility because of that. And Josh Harris, when he took over from Dan Snyder, who was pretty much a slumlord with his team, and he said, I'm not an F-minus guy. And he spent a lot of money fixing up the facilities, and the people are happy. It worked to yeah. get it out. And the Players Association, like Brandt said, not strong enough to fight this.
Snyder did not give a shit about any of the details of running a top-flight organization. I saw it for better than 5 years going into Redskin Park to do the afternoon show on TEM with Cooley and Galdi.
Yeah.
I would see these little landscaping lights in the medians of the parking lot. Some of them were broken and kind of laying on the ground. And I'd look at it every day and go, if I was the owner, I would be on a warpath saying, why the fuck is that thing broken out there? Somebody fix it. The yeah. goalposts on one of the practice fields, actually most of the, on two of the different practice fields, were always like crooked. And they were in desperate need of a new coat of yellow paint. And I thought to myself, if I own this team, I'd be on the warpath saying, somebody fucking fix the goalposts. And you might say, well, what does it matter? Because details always matter. That's why. Yeah. Every detail, if you're not going to worry about that stuff, then bigger stuff, you're also going to say, who cares? Like when he would have the team have to go to a indoor 24-hour fitness to do walkthroughs and the weather was too bad because they didn't have any indoor practice facility. And it was Shanahan who came in and insisted to Danny, you got to build at least a bubble. So they did.
Yeah.
And then the bubble was so cheap, it fucking collapsed in a snowstorm. They had to rebuild it.
Well, but like Joe Gibbs, when he came back, he said, no team of mine is ever going to practice indoors. Mike Shanahan comes in from Denver and goes, what are you, nuts? Of course you're going to have an indoor. And the best story about that, remember when Snyder was on the hot seat with the Washington Post reporting, he made his wife like co-owner just in case, you know, they booted him out and the family could hang on to the team.
Oh,
and
really?
So the wives, this was in the Don Bandana story.
I don't remember
the
that.
Wives,
okay.
Sit in one section, and they have some of them have young kids. They have babies in diapers, and one of them went to Tanya Snyder and said, "Can we please install a changing station in the bathroom closest to where we sit?" And she said, "We're going to have one in the new stadium."
Wow! So she said, "Don't worry, we'll have one in the new stadium, which would be 10 years away at best."
Right, and the wife said, "Don't worry, I'll write the check. What is it, $5,000? No." So, yeah, that's the way they ran things.
All right, I got to get back to the NBA All-Star Weekend in general. I know we spent some time earlier on the dunk contest, but here's the real crux of it. They come into the All-Star Weekend with the commissioner having to announce 2 days prior to the weekend that they were fining the Utah Jazz $500,000 for tanking a game in which they benched two of their better players up pretty big going into the fourth quarter. Now, mind you, they won that game in the end, even though they were up big and they benched two guys in a pretty blatant way of tanking. One of the reasons the Jazz are tanking is, guess who owns their pick if they finish out of the bottom eight? The Oklahoma City Thunder, the team that pulled off the most successful tank. And so the Oklahoma City Thunder wants to pull the ladder up, if you will, Andy, on anyone else trying to do what they did to build a super team. So apparently, according to reports, it's the Thunder and Sam Presti who are just bugging the league. But as soon as Silver did that, he set the table for, well, you now have no other storylines in your NBA supposed celebratory weekend other than your league is shit and half the team, a third of the teams are tanking. This is a point in which I think Adam Silver, who I once thought highly of, Andy, could be in trouble.
Yeah, I agree. But he's got a big cash cow that he's working on right now, and that's called NBA Europe. And as long as he's lining the pockets of the owners, they're not going to care. The real problem that the NBA has over other sports is in the NFL, if you put together a year where you win 10 games, they're 10-7, and you make it as a wild card, you can still win the Super Bowl. If you are a NBA team that wins 48 games,
you're not going to win. Right, because it's best of seven. You're not going to go best of seven to somehow outpunch everybody else along the way. You're just not going to happen.
Right. So you got to be really bad to get really good and then hope everything falls in place. But the reality is, you know, and you've got like this mixed emotions from the fan base in that they pay their money to go to the game. They go, yeah, you're winning. You win. Oh, wait a minute. Don't win because we want to get a good draft pick. It's an odd waltz that everybody does on this. Silver talked about this at the news conference. I don't know what the solution is.
There's also something called the second apron, which is an even more punitive level of spending that taxes teams at such a rate that every team is desperately avoiding the so-called second apron. So there's this tiny strike zone, Andy, of how to build a team where you want to get as many good young picks players as you can, but then again, once they start to come up through the ranks, they're going to have to be paid. And they almost always zoom up to being paid absurd levels. Here's the thin man, American Gothic himself, Adam Silver, the former deputy to one David Stern, commissioner for life, talking about tanking.
Look at some fresh thinking here. I mean, what we're doing, what we're seeing right now is not working. There's no question about it. And yes, is there more I can do? Have I attempted not only to respond to behavior we've seen, but send a clear message that we're going to be scrutinizing everything we see going forward? Absolutely. But I don't think that's the way to manage this system long term of I know it when I see it, or people in the league office. It'll lead to very unhealthy relationships between us and our teams.
Okay. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with what he's saying. He doesn't have a solution. That's the problem. Let's say one more time Utah does this. Okay, we're taking away your draft pick. We're taking you out of the lottery. You know, then what happens? You know,
who gets their pick then? That's the problem.
Well, no, you just move it down. Like you take them out of the lottery completely.
I guess that could be it. Steph Curry not competing this weekend, but at least showing up to do media, was asked this about tanking.
The NBA is trying to do various things to reduce tanking.
But what do you think?
By the way, chewing gum right in front of a mic, unprofessional. Is it wrong of me to ask for more than that? I don't think it's wrong of me to say, come on, man.
Yeah, he should do it.
How many teams are tanking right now? Is it really?
Yeah. Really?
Even the teams that are in the play-in chase?
The ones out.
That's what, how many is the third of the league, so 10 teams?
Yeah.
Is it really that big of a problem?
Oh my fucking God. Steph Curry, and look at his face too, Andy. He's a tanking truther. Is it really that big of a problem?
Well, he doesn't have a realistic view because his team, man, you could never do this again. What was he, 7? And Klay Thompson was 11, and Draymond was a second-round pick. You're never going to get those lucky balls again like that. It's never, no matter how good your scouting department is. So I don't think he really has a realistic view of what's going on in the rest of the league.
Yeah. Then there was some other stuff. Like Kawhi Leonard was asked about this whole tournament, this three-way tournament they're playing in a couple hours from when we sit here and tape, internationals versus the U.S. Kawhi said he doesn't understand it and just wants to see it go back to East versus West. Quote, with a team split up, you really don't know who you're playing with or what the score is. I'd rather it just be East and West and just go out there and compete and see what the outcome is. I don't think a format can make you compete. Now, when it comes to competing, the soundbite of the weekend had to be Anthony Johnson. Ant Edwards said this when asked, are you going to try more this time?
About how the All-Star game is not as competitive as it used to be. Is that something that's on your mind? Are y'all going to give more effort this year? Or is it kind of like, it is what it is at this point?
Yeah, it is what it is at this point.
Thank you. Everybody's talking about how the All-Star game is not as competitive as it used to be. Is that something that's on your mind? Are y'all going to give more effort this year, or is it kind of like it is what it is at this point?
Yeah, it is what it is at this point.
Thank you.
Yeah.
In a way, I sort of respect Ant-Man for being the most don't give a fuck NBA player out there. The same guy that basically insisted to one of his baby mamas, no, I'm paying you out entirely for this kid right now. We ain't going month to month. I know it's probably more this way, but guess what? How much is it? $1.5 million? Here's the check. The face of Anthony Edwards listening to this question.
The All-Star game is not as competitive as it used to be.
He's like, his eyes kind of sigh.
Is that something that's...
He's like, okay, here we go.
In your mind, are y'all going to give more effort this
year? Look at his face.
Or is it kind of like, it is what it is at this point?
Yeah, it is what it is at this point.
How long has he been in the league? 5 years?
Something like that. But then again, I'm bad with the years. I thought Vince Carter was 5 years ago. It was 25. Well,
the point being, he has no recollection of when it was competitive. And it's probably been 20 years since it was.
I know. And I'm guessing that this format's not going to be a hit tonight, is just what I'm guessing.
Get rid of it. The players don't want to be there. Then, and you know what could happen? This is what they should do. When they have this international league that Silver's getting ready to roll out, have them play an all-star game at the all-star break. Let everybody else go to Cabo. That's what they want to do anyway. They don't want to do this.
Here's some tweets. We used to watch Prime Steph and Clay compete in the three-point contest in prime time. Now we get Bobby Portis and Norm Powell at 5:30 Eastern. Woof. Another tweet. Jalen Brunson started the evening off Saturday by saying, "I'm not having fun." On national TV, and I never related more to a statement. This whole weekend could have been an email. All-Star Saturday night used to be a ritual. I don't think it's ever coming back. You remember when it was here in D.C. and how coveted the Saturday night slam dunk and three-point contest tickets were down at the then MCI Center, or was it still Capital
MCI. One? It was okay. Pretty new.
Okay, it was MCI. I think your son angled for tickets from Big John Thompson.
No, here's what happened. I bought Buckhands had two tickets for Saturday night and two tickets for Sunday. And I said to my son, "You got first choice. You can either go Saturday or Sunday. Samantha gets the other one." He chose Saturday night. And we saw Ray Allen win the three-point contest. Stromile Swift won the slam dunk contest. It sucked. It was terrible.
And, still better than this year's, though.
Yeah, and the All-Star game was good.
Fourth quarter comeback, thanks to Dikembe Mutombo.
You didn't see it, of course. You weren't there. I left early, but courtside seats, I would mention as well.
Baseline third row. They were good seats that Big John got me, and I got to see the All-Star game up close, and they were kind of trying, and it was cool. But, Andy, you got to get home early. You got to beat the traffic. Always leave early. I have ailed the All-Star game in the NBA with comp tickets from John Thompson, third row behind the basket. And I have ailed the Super Bowl in Atlanta, a 13-3 snooze fest by the Patriots over the Rams. If only I could ail more things in life. I'm working on it.
But the reason these All-Star games started is so the players could make money. And do you know that baseball for about 4 or 5 years in the 60s had two All-Star games?
No.
Look this up. Because the players wanted them. They wanted to make extra money off of that. So
what decade was this?
Would be like they play one game like in one city and everybody'd get on a plane and go to another city and you'd play another game.
Oh,
and then
59 to 62. The two All-Star game era. The double dip was designed to generate more money for the players' pension fund.
Yeah, and they don't need it anymore. They don't care about the money. And look, at least they still care about the championships. Because
do they?
It used to be that you wanted to win championships because of the money. The great Joe Theismann quote, "It's worth $70,000 in a big effing ring."
Yeah.
And the $70,000 meant a lot of money. Do you know that? Did you hear what Boomer Esiason said about why they shouldn't have the Super Bowl in California anymore?
Yeah, because Sam Darnold lost money because the winner's share gets taxed at such an exorbitant rate. Right. He's upside down. Yeah.
The whole money thing doesn't mean anything to these guys anymore. Nothing.
Yeah. Well, I'll end on this, speaking of money. First of all, men out there, we are through Valentine's Day. I hope it was uneventful for you. This is always one of the toughest landmine days, along with your anniversary, on the calendar for men. But if you made it through, congratulations. And if you bought your girl something nice, good for you. Just don't expect much ROI, as they say in the business world, which is return on investment. I'll give you something to feel good about, though. At least you didn't do what NBA player PJ Washington did. Who's that guy? PJ Washington? You don't know the 12th overall pick out of Kentucky for the Orlando Magic? A guy who signed a 4-year, $88 million deal. What were you saying about too much money, Andy? PJ Johnson.
PJ Johnson.
Got a deal on 4 for $88 million, and so he decided he would give his wife for Valentine's Day a cherry red Ferrari worth $1 million. And $500,000 worth of luxury bags, handbags, and other stuff. Look at this wild misspenditure of resources. Have you ever in your life seen a dumber thing than that? I'm going to give my wife a Ferrari for Valentine's Day. His wife, by the way, is Elisa Chanel. And she is a popular social media influencer and a beauty and fitness entrepreneur. She has over 600,000 followers on Instagram. That's okay. It's nothing to really shout about. She's known for her sharing lifestyle content and managing her own brand, La Chanel Active. They're married and they have a son named Preston. Giving your wife a Ferrari for Valentine's Day.
This is going to sound ridiculous, but can you imagine what the insurance on that costs? I remember this is 30 years ago, but Ibis was talking about getting an oil change on his Rolls Royce. It was $300 then, and he just said, it sounded outrageous, but... Then again, I'm driving a Rolls Royce.
Who was the sidekick that he had that was unafraid to give him jabs that would zing him?
Bernie McGurk. Yeah, late Bernie McGurk. He was great.
Was that a belt high fastball when he complained about the oil change cost on a Bentley, because that would have been an easy one, or a Rolls Royce, yeah. I guess.
I don't know. I mean, they used to go back and forth, but Bernie was really funny. He was funny at a time when you didn't have to be politically correct. He wouldn't get away with half the stuff he used to say, but he was really funny.
Yeah. All right, Andy, I cannot for the life of me make you care about certain things or be curious enough about some things that I wish you were. But damn it, if you don't know your history and you don't know your years down to a T. And I always enjoy talking to you, so thank you for that. We did not get to talk today about my visit to Penn State. Perhaps next week we could do that. Would be a good idea. I'll tell you why I was up at Happy Valley and what kind of came back to me mentally about the way we talked about the whole Joe Paterno scandal when it broke at Penn State. Having never been there before, now that I went and now that we know more about everything, I think you and I should get into it next time.
Well, that'd be good. And when I saw you put up on Twitter that you were visiting, I was wondering if you were doing a Rodney Dangerfield back to school thing. maybe thinking it might be time to do that.
I want to go back for my advanced degree. Yes, I'd use AI the whole time and pretty much never study. Not even once. All right, Andy Poland, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you for your time. Enjoy tonight's All-Star Game Tournament thing, whatever it is. Can't wait. And we will see everyone next time. Thanks for subscribing. Please rate and review and tell a friend or two. We appreciate you downloading and listening to the Zabecast. Have a great Monday, and we will see you next time. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.